Blog Talk Radio.
It is Tuesday night, and that's the major slap of the bass means it's time for the Dog Pound. Waiting for my co-host, two-time junior middleweight IBF champion, Mr. Cornelius Canine Bundridge. Got a great show in store for you tonight, though. We're going to have Melissa Smith with talk about the upset by Miss McCaskill and what it means to women. We're going to have Mr. Ron Rose. He's putting on the show this weekend, I believe. He is going to be doing the live commentating. So we're excited to hear about that. And we're going to close out the show with Mr. Vince Rock Hudson, part of the WBO family, and we're going to talk a little bit about Miss McCaskill and what the ABO has in store. So let's kind of get down to business here. I'm going to grab Melissa and let's get this show started. All right. Weather's warm out here in California. Everything is fine. Miss Smith, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, JK, I'm good. How are you?
I am fine. A lot of excitement this weekend. I thought I was going to call you, and we were going to have just our little regular old show and talk about, you know, well, what's next for so-and-so and so-and-so. But, hey, big news over the weekend. It was certainly unexpected by those of us that don't follow women's boxing that closely. How big of an upset was this for those that do follow women's boxing and those that, you know, are intimately involved like yourself?
I would say it was a big upset. Jessica McCaskill, fighting out of Chicago, defeated Cecilia Brakus, who was the undisputed champion for years at welterweight, and Jessica McCaskill brought it to her in Tulsa as the main event, and with a split decision, which included one judge who scored it 95-95. The other one judge had it 97-93, and the third judge had it 97-94. Gave her the decision, and it was really, 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 really huge news to the boxing world. Not the least of which, you know, the fact that it was a main event at a Tulsa was also a really terrific opportunity for women's boxing. More than anything else, you know, those women were classy at the end. Cecilia Brakus, who could well have whined and complained about losing on a split decision, was grace herself in handing over the reins of boxing and saying, you know what, you did great. I'm so proud of you. It is time to pass the torch. Just fantastic.
What did you think about the scoring?
I had it closer. I would not have been unhappy with a draw. I certainly didn't have it 97-94 or 97-93. And, you know, I probably would have had it to the advantage of Brakus, but by a very tiny margin. I maybe had her up two rounds or a split or tied. But, you know, that's the way things go. It wasn't a robbery, if that's the question. It was very, very close, and they both have different styles of boxing. I think, you know, there's a couple of things. First of all, Cecilia has had been a European fighter all most of her career, which means she's a tall fighter. She's a big woman, and she always fought from the outside using a very strong jab. She has changed that up. She was out in California and really was bringing in some inside game into her boxing, and that meant that she was really kind of ceding to Jessica McCaskill's style of fighting, which is really inside and close, and being very, very scrappy. And that meant that Brakus was getting a hit a lot more than she could have been, and she was not going to her jab as effectively as she has been in other contests with scrappy fighters. So I think that did her a disservice. But the other thing, frankly, was, I mean, she's a calm, even fighter, but she didn't have hunger in her game and in how she fought. Jessica did. I mean, she fought her heart out. And I think that the judges may well have been swayed by her intent and her purposefulness in bringing it to Cecilia. And I think in what were, you know, very hard-fought two-minute rounds where there was action from the beginning of the round to the end of the round, even though McCaskill did not land as effectively as Brakus, she threw a lot more punches, and she was aggressive pretty much throughout the fight. And I think that is what may have swayed the judges to give her those very close rounds. Neither fighter was in danger of getting a serious knockout, but or had the power really to prosecute that kind of a fight game. Again, because it's two-minute rounds, you just don't have the time to set up that kind of fighting. And it really was a consistent brawl, if you will, from the beginning of the round to the end of the round, through across 10 rounds. McCaskill would go low. I mean, there was some dirty fighting in there as well. Brakus was kind of pushing down on her a lot. She threw some elbows. She threw some shoulders. But there was never any complaint on it. It just kind of kept going through. But very, very exciting and very, very good for women's boxing.
There was a little back and forth. Well, at least Felissa had a lot to say about the Brakus fight. Are we still going to see that? Are we going to have a rematch? Do you know what's going to happen now? This, in the long run, could possibly cost Cecilia a lot of money.
Yeah, but, you know, at the fight and when she spoke afterward, it seemed like she was done. Now, whether there's an opportunity down the line, whether she just tired and needs to go home and see her family and hang out for a while and relax. But the way she was speaking after the fight was to kind of say, well, this has been great. It's my first loss, and I'm losing my belts, and that's okay. I miss my friends and my family. So we'll see what that really translates to. I mean, she gave up the WBC, the WBA, the IBF, the WBO titles at 147 pounds. And she'd held that for a long time and had tied Joe Lewis's record coming into the fight of the most consecutive wins of a title fight. And had she won, she would have broken his record. So, I mean, there was a lot riding on it. But those of us who watched the fight, to me, anyway, she didn't have the hunger. It's not that she wasn't fighting. She was. She fought hard. But she didn't have Well, I don't know. I guess that's the best way to put it. She didn't have the hunger.
Yeah, that kind of summed it up for this particular fight. But the champ is here, and I'm sure he has some things he wants to talk about. What's up, champ? He got on that silly phone again. We must not have him on the right phone, but he's around here somewhere. He'll call in a minute, I guess. Anyway.
Cool. But I do have some news on women's boxing, if you'd like to hear it.
Why don't we take your news and we'll see if the champ can get in here, whether he's got to change phones or not.
Okay.
Jay.
Yeah, okay.
Jay.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, yeah, what's happening, bro? I thought you know, forgot about me. I said, man, maybe, you know what I'm saying, you ain't going to plug me in. How y'all doing?
We're good.
That's good. That's good, yeah. Man, I've been pretty busy. You know, today was the we had to go and have the coronavirus. We got to make sure, you know, everybody is okay to do the show. We got a show here at Crunk's. That'll be this Thursday, so it'll be live on UFC Pass, Fight Pass. So, you know, it was a really hectic today. So, yeah, it's deep, boy. They taking that coronavirus stuff serious. Like, these boxing events are totally different than what they used to be.
170,000 people are dead, so it's going to be a little bit different. Melissa,
yep.
What were you saying about your news in women's boxing?
Yeah, well, yep. I have actually really huge news. And that is that Ring Magazine is hours away from publishing the first ever women's ratings. And they are going to do that every week.
Okay, that's good.
That's awesome. It's a really huge sea change, if you will. It really means that, you know, when you've got Ring Magazine putting itself into that position to support women's boxing in that way and all of the independent work that goes into maintaining ratings and so on, it's pretty huge. So I thought that was really exceptional that they have taken that step, and it just means, you know, we're that much closer to equity and fairness in terms of the women's side of, for the women who fight really, really hard for any kind of recognition.
No. Let me say something too about the women's boxing. I feel like this is what I feel like for women boxing. I feel like you get what you negotiate, and I feel like you should get the, you know, how you fight. If you fight real, real good, you shouldn't be judged by, okay, I'm a woman, and it's not fair because the man get this amount, so I should get this amount because it's not fair to women. It's not, you know, I feel like a woman should just be the best as she can and get what she deserves. Get what she deserves or get what she negotiate. So whether she a man or a woman, she should get what she negotiate and what she's worth. If she's worth $100 million, she should get $100 million. I wouldn't care if a man get $1,000. If a man get $100 million, she should get just what she deserves, no matter if she a man or a woman.
Well, I agree with that in principle, but the reality is women are even. I mean, look, a Clarissa Shields is not going to get $100 million. She's not going to get, you know, that kind of money. She'll do well, but she will.
Yeah.
But she
Nobody
will never
get
that
kind
of
money.
Not now. And certainly her opponents are not going to get any
only
kind
one
of money.
Only one or two people got that kind of money before. So trust me, she ain't. Hey, a lot of people ain't getting that. Not even a man.
Yeah, I know that, but she's not even going to get $1 million either. Okay, she's not going to get what the B fighter gets on a championship fight. She is not going to get that. Not yet.
She's not going to get what KFL turned down.
Right, exactly. She's not. Yeah. She's not going to ever be offered. Not right now. She's not going to be offered that opportunity. Jessica McCaskill is not going to be offered that opportunity. She may, you know, Katie Taylor isn't going to get offered that opportunity. Not right now. The only woman who ever earned $1 million was the German fighter Regina Heimlich. That's it. Nobody else earned it.
I think Christy Martin got $1 million too when she
won
the Mike
Tyson.
No,
she did not. Not for a fight. She never got $1 million. I can tell you that for sure.
Yeah, well, I know Clarissa is real close to getting $1 million because she's making like $300,000-$400,000 right now.
Yeah, right. We'll see. And that's a lot of money. And her opponents are getting 20 or 30 or 40, okay?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, her opponents ain't going to make
it. And journeyman fighters like a Heather Hardy, right, who made a heck of a lot of money for Ludabella.
Yeah.
And for every fight card she's ever been on, she has made them money. And if she gets 20,000, that's a lot. Okay.
If she fight on a Mike Tyson undercard, if Layla Lee and Clarissa Shields to fight on a Mike Tyson Roy Jones undercard, they both would make $5 million at least a piece.
They're not gonna be. There are no women's fights on that undercard. Are you kidding me?
But
they don't have any women on that undercard.
They were trying to get on there. They would get on there, but I don't think Layla Ali would be in shape and be ready for that fight.
Well, first of all, Layla Ali has no interest in boxing, and why should she? I mean, that's crazy for her to come back.
I mean, she's talking about it. She at least talking about it. You never know.
I mean, that's nuts.
After all these years, she hasn't boxed.
Then you stand a better chance of getting a rematch with Jamal Charlo.
Yeah.
I don't want a rematch for him.
Why would she?
He middleweight now. He middleweight, yeah.
I mean, Sergio Martinez is coming back, which shocked me, but that's the whole story.
Exactly. See? That's what I was trying to tell you. People coming back. Look, Roy Jones.
Mike Tyson ain't fought in 15 years. And I think that is a crazy fight to have, and I will not watch it. I'm telling you, I will not watch it. I will not support it. I think it's ridiculous.
And neither is any real fans of boxing. This is like fantasy boxing. Why don't you
just...
I mean, what the heck? I mean, boxing's got enough trouble. You got these numbnuts. And there will not be a women's fight on that bout.
That show
is on
the well. I bet you they get it over 1 million buys. Guaranteed.
Good luck with that.
Oh, no, I know for sure.
For money?
I know for sure. They're going to get over 1 million buys.
You think they're going to get it right now when you can't give boxing away right now?
Man, Mike Tyson, come on, he's going to sell.
He's an old man.
No, somebody cares. A lot of people care.
Nobody wants to see him fight.
That's what you say. Trust me, Mike Tyson is going to sell. We got to have her now. After that fight, we're going to have her back on the show.
How many buys they actually had, right?
Okay, you're right. But listen, no, you're right. You're right, though. You're absolutely right. I wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't buy it at all.
I'm going to go to somebody else's house. There's no way I'm buying that fight. It's bad. I still pay for ESPN and I still pay for DAZN. That's enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
I don't want to pay for that.
And I don't really want to pay, but I do because this is the business I'm in. And in the sense that this is my commitment is to women's boxing. And next Saturday, next week, there's a huge fight coming up. You know, this is Katie Taylor fighting, the rematch against Delphine Parson, who many felt won their last outing in Madison Square Garden. And so, huge fight. But is it the main event?
Yes, I understand. Yeah.
And they are not getting $1 million either.
No.
Okay.
Nope. Yeah. I mean, another reason,
huge in Europe. And boxing.
2 minutes. You got to at least go 3 minute rounds probably before you ever make a
million
dollars.
Yeah, but you can't. Let me tell you something. You got WBC that will not sanction a fight for 3 minutes, okay? They refuse to sanction a fight.
It's 2 minutes.
Now, look,
Marlon Esparza, who was fighting
on ESPN, you know, she signed with Golden Boy. She has been fighting 3-minute rounds on ESPN, but they have not been sanctioned fights by WBC.
Oh, wow.
WBC refuses. She has not had a title fight at 3 minutes. Fights other fights. WBC will not sanction a fight.
Wow.
It is legal in Las Vegas. It is legal in New York State to fight 3 minutes. But no, none of these sanctioning bodies will allow it. Okay?
Oh, wow.
So everybody's screaming, oh, 3-minute rounds, why don't they fight? Well, they all, every woman I know does all of their sparring is at 3 minutes. All of their training is at 3 minutes. They do 12 rounds for 3 minutes a round when they're getting ready for a fight. That's what they do.
Yeah.
But if the sanctioning
bodies
won't support it, what the heck are they supposed to do?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Wow.
And so everybody's like, oh, it's the women. No, it is not. It's the business.
Yeah. I understand. You know, well, I guess I understand. You know, hey, if a woman want to fight, you know, she got free will. She do what she want to do. That's up to her. But I don't know. If the people are going to support it, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. 80 p.m.
Well, look, women's boxing has been around for a very long time. And in this iteration, it's, you know, we think of pro women's boxing as starting when Christy Martin fought on the undercard of the Tyson fight, when she was represented by Don King. So that's now 30 years ago, okay?
Yeah.
That was in 1994. Yeah. It is now almost 25 years ago, right? Whatever that is. Okay, that was 1995. So here we are. And women were making more money then than they are now. Okay?
Oh, I don't know about that one. You said
I do know about that one.
No,
I can tell you
that's the case. No. That's not the case because that only for that fight. In that fight, it was a big fight because it was Mike Tyson on the card. But if you go off the card and see how much women was making, they wasn't making what they're making now.
I can tell you this, that Lucia Riker was making $15,000 about. Okay, she wasn't on the undercard of Tyson fights. That's what she earned.
Yeah, but every
women
female
don't earn that now.
Every fighter that Clarissa Shields fighting, I know they're leading $20,000 at least on Showtime, and she has been the main event the last three or four times.
But let me tell you, other women have earned $300,000 for a fight back then.
But I'm talking about she fights like 3 times a year. I mean, not now because the COVID that we're in right now, but she was fighting like 3 times, making $300,000.
Right, but she wasn't making $300,000 for every bout. That had to build up. And her opponents were making a lot less. They were making opponent rounds.
Yeah, but it's an all-time high right now. Like, female boxing is way bigger than it was back then. The females are getting on, they are on TV like never before. Never was a female on HBO. Never was a female, I'm talking about the main event on Showtime, back to back to back. I mean, it's getting a lot of shine. And I think a lot of it
is
because what's her name that was on the UFC? Ronda Rousey. I think Ronda Rousey is who opened the doors for female combat sports, period.
In this iteration, yes. But you know, there have been main events before with women on pay-per-view 20 years ago.
Who?
Layla Ali.
Of course. Layla Ali.
Okay.
So,
you know,
it
existed, and then it died. When Layla Ali started to walk away from boxing, it died.
Yeah,
it didn't start to get revived again until 2016. Women were barely on television for 10 years. But ESPN, as an example, used to regularly have women's bouts 20 years ago. Okay? So it ebbs and flows. Right now it's in a good place because you have a whole group of women who started boxing as teenagers. They had terrific amateur careers like Clarissa Stevenson, like Katie Taylor, like Marlon Esparza, like Michaela Mayer. They started boxing young. They have the same skill sets as their male counterparts. They've been in the Olympics, and they have been able to capitalize on the fact that their skill sets are indistinguishable from their male counterparts. And that's really helping the sport.
Yes.
And there's a transition in the sense that you still have – fighters coming in who don't have that amateur pedigree. But let me tell you, you go out to, in California, you look at what they're doing out of beautiful brawlers in Northern California, and you look at these 12, 13-year-old girls, oh, my God, they are killers. They are so, so good at that sport. And when they come up, it'll just complete the transformation. So in that sense, yes, women's boxing is better today because there's been the opportunity for these women to fight as young girls.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I go to these little amateur fights. I'll be seeing these girls that can, man, these girls can fight. I'll be seeing these young girls. I'll be like, man, these girls are different. They way different. I never saw as many females that's boxing today than I did 10 years ago. Wasn't no females. It was barely any females doing some amateur boxing. They coming out to Woolworth now.
They are really, really, really good.
Yeah, I agree. Like my daughter, I be wanting my daughter to box. She done got so good. I be training her. her mama
How old
said,
is she?
No, she's six years old.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
really good. So the other news I have is that our New York State governor had announced that the gyms could reopen as early as August 24th. However, in New York City, the mayor just came out and said, nope, they can't open. It's on hold because they have to inspect the gyms before they're allowed to reopen, and the focus is on reopening schools and daycare centers. So it will be weeks before New York City gyms are open. That is fatal to New York City boxing, I got to tell you. It is fatal. I don't know how these gyms are going to remain open.
Melissa, I also heard that the governor Cuomo said that he was only going to open them up to 1/3 capacity. So
that's correct.
How many gyms? I mean, even leases. I mean, you still got to pay rent. Is the landlord going to cut the
rent? I really
rent?
Don't know how they're going to survive. That's what I'm telling you. I don't know how they're going to survive. You know, it's one thing for like a YMCA, but this is, I just don't know. Even at 33%, at least they could get people in there and get a little bit of coverage. But now it's back to nothing, and it will be nothing until sometime in God knows when, late September, middle September. I don't know the answer. And it's very bad news. Very, very, very bad news for New York City boxing. Because it means there's still no way for anyone to go other than the park or Zoom classes. It means the trainers have no income at all. Yeah, very rough.
Wow, that is going to make it tough. We got a couple of bouts coming up here. Let's see. We got Lomachenko. I didn't know there was so much bad blood between the two of those fighters. Melissa, did you know about that, or was that something new to you also?
I did not. That took me by surprise. Kind of shocking, to tell you the truth. But, yeah. And, you know, we'll see when the Loma is, no matter how good you are, age does catch up. So we'll see what this is going to look like.
Another bout that I heard that, we were talking about some other things that we didn't want to see. What about Ruiz versus Areola?
Well, it should be interesting. Areola shouldn't fight anymore. I mean, I don't know how he has a brain left, but it'll be fun. Chris Areola, I mean, if Chris is in shape, he's always a fun fighter. But I don't know what you all think, but I don't think he should be fighting. But that's my own personal opinion.
K9, you have some things for Melissa before we let her go?
I beg your pardon?
No, no, go ahead. Use my phone, Melissa.
Just that, you know what? There's great boxing on match on that'll be broadcast on DAZN. Dylan White is the main event with Alexander Povetkin, and then but more, you know, from the women's boxing's perspective, we got Katie Taylor having the rematch finally with Delphine Parsoon. All of the female lightweight titles will be on the table, WBC, WBA, IBF, and WBO for the undisputed. We'll see how it goes. They're both in the bubble now. Kind of interesting the way Matchroom Boxing has it, in that they're all living together at a what looks like a very fancy chateau or the equivalent of a chateau. So they see each other all the time, you know, for 2 weeks, and they're both training there. So it's kind of interesting. But that's a fight worth watching.
Okay. Well, yeah. Hey, we definitely appreciate you. You got a lot of insight. You're definitely a great advocate for females boxing, and they should be very happy to have you.
Well, that's very sweet of you. And the thing, as I said, I'm real excited about is that their Ring Magazine will start publishing their women's ratings, which is just another step on the way of really accepting the sport in the way that, in my view, it should be accepted. But we'll go on from there. Uh-oh. Thank you both so much for having me on. Very appreciated.
Melissa,
and I look forward to the day after the Tyson fight to see how many buys they had.
Right. Hey, listen, I think they're going to do a bunch. I'm telling you, I can't wait to have you on the show. I'm going to say, see, I told you.
I will eat my words and say, yes, you did.
Right, yeah.
You have a great night, Melissa.
Yeah, you have
okay,
a great
thanks
night.
You both so much. Okay. I'm off to watch the convention now. Okay, bye-bye now.
Okay,
bye.
Appreciate you.
Bye.
All right. Yeah, so JK, I'm gonna get our next guest, okay?
All right, go ahead. We got some shows, some fights coming up here that should seem very interesting to our viewers. We're going to have, Darren Taylor. He's going to be targeting Jamal Herring. This fight is probably about a year or so away. I don't know if a trainer really has enough cachet to call out Herring just yet. Canelo Alvarez is going to be fighting. It's been approved for a WBC vacant 160-pound title. Once again,
yeah. JK.
The red. Yes.
Yeah, JK, we have our guest. Yes, Ron. How you doing, Ron? Welcome to the show.
Hey,
this is JK, James King. Ron.
Hey, how you doing?
How you
doing
tonight?
Ron DMC. Yeah, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Is Ron there, K-9?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Ron.
Okay. Next on Saturday, we're doing a show in Bonita Springs, Florida, near Fort Myers. K-9 is going to be commentator. We got some great fights. We got Curtis Hard Knocks Johnson, 130-pounder. He had an amazing amateur background. He actually had more amateur fights than Lomachenko. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yeah, he came up with Adrian Broner and Gary Russell. He said that they used to change weight classes to avoid him. You know, but he's 11-0 with 8 knockouts.
Okay.
With a couple bad. Some several bad years of management. Now he's under with me, and we
okay.
got to move. And we got him signed from Star Boxing, Joe DeGuardia. Got him signed. We were going to fight up there in New York April 17th before the pandemic shut that down. There's a lot of great fights on the card. We got a Nigerian named Raphael, and he is trained by Glenn Johnson, former IBF world champion Glenn Johnson. The heavyweight, he's 6 foot eight.
Wow.
About 250, looks like a boxing LeBron James.
Wow. Yeah, so I was telling JK that Glenn Johnson was going to be there. He's training one of the fighters, too.
Yeah, he's training that heavyweight, 6-0 with 6 knockouts.
Yeah,
he actually fought one of my amateur shows before. That's why I met him. Very, very nice guy.
Okay. You managing him? You promoting him? Managing him?
No, he's fighting.
Huh?
And I knew him, and Glenn, you know, I know Glenn, so we want to get him on the show.
Okay. That's good. That's good. JK, anything you want to ask Ryan?
Yeah, Ron, how did you get started in boxing? I see you have some other things going, too. I see you work with amateurs. How did you get started in boxing, and which do you enjoy watching the young amateurs grow up, or do you,
I had a lot of family members who were former pro fighters. My mom's brother, my uncle Chuck, he was a middleweight. He fought in the 50s, and he first started training me. And then on my great uncles, my grandmother's brothers, they were Dutton and George. They were also pro fighters. They were small guys, and they were pro fighters. They were all out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay, my neck of the woods.
Yeah, that's where I'm from, born and raised.
You from Pittsburgh?
I'm Pittsburgh, yep.
I'm from Youngstown.
Oh, you're from Youngstown? Oh,
yeah.
Man, I used to take guys up to Spar from my gym in Pittsburgh to Earl Charity's gym.
Right. I know all the Charity brothers. Earl, Charity, Burrell Charity, the Chester Richardson brothers, all them guys to fight out of Pearl Street, Michigan. Yeah, yeah. Go way back.
That was
before Man was a champ.
Yeah, I remember he had Eddie Richardson. Yeah.
Yeah.
Small world. Did I know Jack Lowe?
Okay.
You know Jack Lowe from up there in Youngstown? He had Pavitt, Kelly Pavitt.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, Kelly. That was Kelly's trainer, yeah.
Yeah, I know Jack. And remember a kid named Sigiano?
What was his name?
Real popular. What was his name? Ernie or Andy Cigarano, something like that? Yeah, out of Youngstown. Youngstown used to have a lot of good
Yeah. Yeah, that was, yeah. We had Bone Crusher Smith had a big boxing camp up there. Then Mike Tyson bought it. But yeah, we used to have a lot of, good training camps. A lot of pros used to come around there. It was a good little boxing town. You're going down to Florida. K-9 was just talking about having to take the test. Were you guys also, are you going to be like in a bubble, like the NBA teams? Or?
No, we don't have to do the bubble. We don't have to do the test. Where the part of Florida where we're at, only thing we're going to do is when people come in the door, we're going to do the temperature test. And then all the corner men are going to wear masks. And it's going to be optional for the guests. We're allowed we're allowed 50% of capacity. So what we're doing is we're doing it like barroom boxing. Ballroom.
Okay.
Ballroom boxing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They used to do it up there. A promoter named Stu used to do it up there in Glenbury, Maryland. He used to do a ballroom fight.
Yeah.
Well,
tables with tablecloths, waitresses, and people are eating and watching the fight.
I think that they still do that in Texas. I think there's a few places in Texas where they still do that. Especially when you can only do a 50% capacity.
Normally I would have the place packed in there with 300 something people, but since we can only have limited, so we're going to do 100 guests. I do the tables like that, it's going to look like a nice thing. It's not going to look like an empty place like you see on TV.
Exactly. Yep. That's good. Yeah, I like that.
So K-9, you putting on your tux? You putting on the tux there or what?
Yeah. You say, what about the test again?
I say, you putting on your tux or what? You know, you.
Yeah, you know what? I asked Ryan about that. Like, I didn't really. How is the dress code supposed to be?
Oh, I told him, well, you're the commentator. You're gonna dress. You know, sharp casual.
Exactly.
Yeah,
just casual.
Just like you see Andre Ward doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the thing I want to bring. I want a K-9 to bring to Andre Ward, Timothy Bradley, like they do.
Yeah. Just some relaxing. You know. The tux would probably be too hot, man. You know. Hey, look. What's it? Hey, JK want me to melt.
No, you can do the Mike Tyson look tux. You know, where you just cut the arms off. You know.
The Russell Simmons, right? Throw some gym suits on with a suit.
Didn't Mike come out to a press conference or something? He had a touch on with, but he had the sleeves cut off.
Well, Michael Jackson.
Sure that,
well,
no,
like,
it was Mike Tyson. I'm talking about Mike Tyson.
We got a lot of good fighters from several different countries.
Yeah.
We got a guy, Ermel. He's from Albania. So already on the pay-per-view, I got three different countries so far.
Yeah.
To watch it. I got people that bought it from the United Kingdom, from Italy.
Yeah.
Ermel's manager and trainer is from Italy.
Yeah.
And then you got Dino, that he owns the Fifth Street Gym in Miami Beach. A lot of these guys, they all train out of this.
Okay, that's now, good.
Is this going to be live? Is this going to be live stream? Is this going to be a live stream or what?
It's pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Live stream pay-per-view. I'm going to be well-known. Right. They're going to know who K-9 is. Everybody going to know.
Yep. As I said, already three different countries.
Yeah. Y'all must have forgot.
Now, K-9, you know, we used to always be able to tell when you came in the ring because we'd have that light shining off that bald head. Hey, man, how that gonna work out?
Yeah.
I mean, you used to blind us out here in California, man.
Yeah. Oh, that was the jury. That was the ice. That's ice, baby. Look at that Marolius about that time. Yes, indeed. Oh, yeah. It was the fun days, though. See, now I got the mic, and I'm behind closed doors. You know what I mean? Now we're doing big things outside the ring, see? That's why we got the podcast, the Dog Pound, the Pugilist Corner, the Weekend Rap, and now we're doing live stream on pay-per-view. And they can order the fight. At what, Ron? What would they have to go to?
They go to Bonita Beach Boxing .cling.com. And you said Belief. How did you say that again? It start with what?
It's BenitaBeachBoxing.cling.
Okay.
BLEENG.com.
Okay, you say C as in cat?
Yes. L as
okay.
in Larry. E as in Edward. E as in Edward. N as in Nancy. And G as in George. .com.
Yes. So get y'all
so,
bottles.
Only, you know, like, only for, we got 10 professional fights. Only $19.99.
Absolutely. Yep. So for the price of a pizza, you can actually see 10 live fights.
Yep. We got Devin the Gator McKinley. He's a bantamweight. 3-0 with 3 first round knockouts. Very aggressive.
Yeah.
Very aggressive. He's freakishly strong for his size.
Okay.
This kid is a bantamweight, and he played linebacker in high school football. So that tells you how strong he was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's.
So hold on. You say he's a bantamweight, but he played linebacker in football.
Yeah, he
so
played linebacker. He went up to 140 pounds and played linebacker in high school.
Wow. So he's got good defense and football, but good offense in boxing.
Yeah. Oh, he's very aggressive.
Oh, wow.
He acts like he's waiting for a cab. The meter's running, and I got to get him out of there. He gets everybody out in the first round. So,
oh, wow.
I put him against a Mexican kid out of Denver who hasn't been stopped. The kid lost the decision. He ain't been stopped, and I want to see if he can stop a guy that's never been stopped.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's good. That's good stuff. So, JK,
yeah,
you better quit messing with me, JK. I'm going to stick that bantamweight on you. Hey, JK, like, man, listen, I don't box. You want to see him in a box? Oh, man, that's good. I can't wait, though, yeah. I can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait, boy. Like I was telling the audience though, so I'm gonna actually be commentating, doing a play by play at the Kronk Gym Thursday. Then I fly out Friday to Florida to put it to the weigh in, and then Saturday we live on a pay per view.
So K-9, I gotta know, man. You know, how'd they get you on the plane, man? I know about you in flying.
I was talking to Ron earlier. I said, man,
I don't like
this. Didn't I call you, Ron? I said, bro, what?
Yep, if he did, he called me about the flight.
Man,
I'm like, I don't know. I don't know no boat to come from Lake Michigan down to Florida.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy. Hell, yeah. I just don't think I could get used to it. That's all.
But hey, that would be some road work, though. You know, I'm sure that probably set a record. You know?
Oh, my goodness.
You could be the oldest champion to run from Detroit to Bonita Beach.
Oh my goodness, man! Listen. See how JK trying his best to kill me? He gonna get rid of the dog one way or another, huh?
Hey JK, maybe we can have K-9 parachute down to the venue.
Hey, there you go.
Remember when Riddick Bowe was fighting the guy parachute?
Yeah. I remember that.
The guy came right into the ring. He's going to fight outside. Fight.
Yeah, I do remember that. Hey, JK, when you was in the Marines, JK do that parachuting stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was in the 101st. I still like to jump out of airplanes. Yeah, you're right. You know, I ain't gonna try to land in the ring now, but you know, give me a football field, I can do that.
Wow. See? Unbelievable. The jack of all trades, JK in the building, fellas. Ladies and gentlemen,
Right. Only if you was a twin. Yeah.
I don't even got about nobody's plan.
So, Ron, you see that, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, happening in Florida. Of course, we got the NBA, you know, down there in Florida. You got UFC in Florida. I think Dada just had a show down there, too, I believe. Dada 5000. We had him on the show not too long ago.
Yeah, Florida's probably the most open state, you know, let you do some stuff, you know.
Yeah, that's why I heard it was so many, you know, so many people that got infected with the corona, because it was they
that
were
was
open.
That's out of Miami and Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Because people go out there in the spring break and the beaches, and they think it started when it's people born in Miami. All them people came down. They came from like New York and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
Yeah. Wow. But the NBA, the NBA has shown it could be done. I mean, you know, they got all them people there and not one positive case. So it can be done, you know, which is, I think, a good thing for sports, especially, you know, combat sports like ours. But, Top Rank is getting back into business. PBC is starting to have the fights back on. Showtime just had his first fights Saturday.
His own.
So,
why I decided to do this show, because the fighters can't sit there and be inactive. That's the worst thing in the world.
Yes, you trust me. Tell me about it. Yeah, you're right. You're right. And you're right. I'm happy. I'm excited. You know what I mean? Like I say, I'm going to be fighting, you know, fights back to back. So I love it. And then I'm happy for the momentum that Top Rank gave boxing. They were throwing shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and they actually had one even on Saturday.
Is this going to be your first time commentating?
No. This will be actually like my third time. I commentated on Fox before.
I mean, we got fighters from all over the country.
Yeah.
We got a veteran. We got a Mexican kid named Andre Marquez, and out of L.A. It's going to be an interesting fight. He's fighting a guy named Nicholas Klim. And Nicholas Klim looks like he's a pro debut, but he's not. He's pro MMA fight.
Oh,
he's an MMA fighter. He's doing the McGregor thing. He's switching over.
Oh, that's good. That's how you make the money. McGregor never made that $100 million until he fought in a boxing ring against Floyd.
Yeah,
you got to cross over. I think that, you know, we had a young lady on the line named Melissa, and we was talking about the female boxing, and I think that Clarissa Shields, if she got in a cage, she'd make her first $1 million, because you got to cross over. You make money when you cross over. Just like if Amanda Nunes was to cross over and fight Clarissa Shields in a boxing ring, she'd make her probably first couple of million.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's how I go. You got to cross over from one sport to another, especially when you're a superstar.
The guy we have on there from Albania, Armel, he's also a former MMA fighter.
See what I'm talking about?
Now 3-0-1, one knockout as a boxer. He's on the card. He'll be right before the main event. It'll be the co-main event. He trains down there at the Fifth Street Gym in Miami Beach.
Yeah, I just
Dino Spencer.
I just can't really see, you know, MMA fighters transforming over into the sport of boxing and becoming a world champion. I mean, if one was to ever do that, it'd be like the first ever. I mean, it's hard when you're used to kicking and slamming somebody to just stick with just throwing punches. Same thing with a boxer. I think it would be real hard for
the guy, the first thing they're going to do is try to take them down.
Absolutely. That's how come when Floyd Mayweather got in that cage, and remember that commercial he did where he got in a cage, when it took his shoes off and got in the cage?
I said, man, quit playing with yourself. I said, you ain't tricking me at all. You ain't about to get no cake at all.
If he beat McGregor in boxing, McGregor would beat him in MMA.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
Kicking him upside his head.
No. If I was
because
Floyd, I would tap out and go straight to the bank.
Ron, I was looking on your page. I was looking on your page here. I hit in a ring, and I see that you've been doing something. What, since 2016? How did your series come about?
No, this gym, that gym has been open since 2014, but I had a gym back in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania before that.
Okay. So
yeah,
is that King of the Ring part of, you know, out of Bonita Beach?
Yeah, all the guys in the picture are, yeah. Fighter I trained her since she was 13 years old, two-time national champion.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we were just talking about the female starting to box at a young age now.
Yeah, she started at 13. She lost a decision in the last fight. Well, I thought she won the fight. She lost a decision, but she'd be okay. Everybody, most people thought she won or draw on the tough girl. She just turned 19 in June.
Okay. Oh, she's still super young. Is she pro?
Oh, yeah, she's pro.
Okay, how many fights she got? What's her record?
She's 2-1 with 2 knockouts.
Okay. Yeah. You can bounce back from one loss. That ain't nothing.
You'll be fine.
Yeah.
She wasn't back in the gym because of the pandemic, her family.
Yeah.
So otherwise, she would have been on this show.
Okay. Yeah, you say she
robbed Benita Spring.
Yeah, you said she was robbed. You know, speaking of robbed, someone said that I missed the fight on Showtime, but they were saying that the fighter that Floyd Mayweather has, he really didn't win the fight. The other fighter got robbed. What's the guy, Rolly? I think his name is Rolly.
Romero.
I mean, with the My Girl fight, that was a close fight. I thought we had it. Another fighter you want to see, the heavyweight I got named Dominique Valera. He's Cuban.
Yeah. Okay.
His nickname is the Giant Killer.
Oh.
And he's about 6'1", 230, 235.
Yeah.
Been to the Nationals. Well, yet the name is the Giant Killer. As an amateur, he knocked out a dude that was 6'10", knocked him out cold.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a Giant Killer. He need to be trying to fight Tyson Fury. He's 6'9".
Well, he's making his pro.
I don't know what happened there with K-9, but hopefully we'll get him back. He's probably talking and don't even know that we're not there. But, Mr. Rose is putting on a show this weekend in Bonita Beach. If you're down in Florida, you want to see some boxing, go down that way. I'm sure tickets are very reasonable. And as I say, it's a pay-per-view, $19.99, very reasonable. So if you're into boxing at all, check it out. I'm going to get Mr. Vince Hudson on the line. Vince is... I saw a picture of Vince with Miss McCaskill, and one of the belts that she won happened to be an ABO belt. So we're going to get Vince to talk about that. And hopefully by then, K-9 will be back on the line. So let's see what's going on here.
As I said, K-9 is probably talking with us and doesn't realize he's been cut off. Vince was part of he's part of that Chicago family of fighters and trainers. Mr. Hudson, how are we doing this evening?
Oh man, I'm blessed by the best, man. You know the rest.
I hear that.
What's wrong with you?
Oh, everything's good out here. Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
Did I lose you?
No, I got you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Okay, there you go.
All right.
You hear me?
I was telling everybody I come across your picture on Facebook there with Ms. McCaskill. Our first guest was Melissa Smith. Having a lot of trouble with these lines tonight. And I'm not sure he... Well, looks like we're having trouble with our switchboard tonight here. All right, let's see if we got Vince back. Okay, do I have you now?
Yeah. Right when you started talking, I couldn't hear you no more.
Well, no, I was talking about seeing you there with Ms. McCaskill. One of the belts that she got back that she won was the WBO belt.
Mm-hmm.
So that was quite an upset. What did you think about
that? Man, I thought, man, it was outstanding, man, for just... you know, as a way to motivate a lot of the fighters out there that's thinking that, you know, during this pandemic that nothing's really going on. I mean, as long as you stay on top of your game, you know, because we set our own destiny, you know, and it's all on what we want and it's what we put into what we want. And that's just what she did. She stayed on it, you know, and her performance, you know, I didn't see the full fight, but I saw the highlights. And, yeah, she just out-hustled it, you know. She I seen her interview afterwards, and she said, at some point it got ugly. You know, I didn't care how I looked, as long as I did what I had to do to win, you know. And so, man, my hat's off to her on that, you know.
Now,
I've always known that, you know, even after that fight against Katie Taylor, that's when she really convinced me that, you know, she was a force to be reckoned with.
Now, one of the things that it seemed, as I said, we had Melissa Smith on first, and she said
mm-hmm.
she kind of the idea that after this fight was over, that Cecilia was going to hang him up. What did you think?
Oh, well, you know what? She said that, wait, before this fight, because I know that's the way Cecilia sounds after the bout anyway.
Yeah, that,
so,
that
you know,
she was saying that's the way it sounded after the fight, is that that was going to be her last.
Yeah, after the fight. Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I heard the same thing. You know, I heard that in her voice. And yeah, she even said that, yeah. I was thinking that you were saying that she said it before the fight. If so, it was like, oh, man, you know, because we, you know, we speak things into existence, you know, and if she was feeling that before, and never know, she probably was, you know, she probably didn't have all that dog in her, you know, because, yeah, she was lacking some things, a lot of things. And, yeah, because she said she spoke like, yeah, after this, I don't know what I'm going to do yet, you know. Because I guess she figured, hey, I done had the title all these years, went undefeated, got the first loss, I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, but Clarissa didn't have any problem calling her out before the fight.
Right.
Did you did you see any of those comments? And
no, I missed that. I missed that.
Yeah, well, there was quite a few, you know, she was talking about, you know, people having to move up to fight her or, you know, fighting her at different weights and things like that, you know.
Oh, wait. Yeah, wait a minute. I did hear something about that. That's right. And matter of fact, I did see where Clarissa had brought up about that and said, hey, you know, they can come on and get some of this. You know, I ain't got no problem with it, you know. Which, man, overall, when it comes to women boxing, man, I got a young girl I'm working with now, man, and I look at the way she is, and I'm like, well, the problem is that the people don't, a lot of trainers don't take the time with their fighters to totally get them right. Because I look at some of the trainers at the gym with me, and, you know, you can't give just enough to get by because you're dealing with somebody's life. That's how I look at it. And my main thing is I want to make sure you know how to get your head out the way. You know how to ride with a punch, roll with a punch, get, you know, and use your whole body in there, not just be, you know, like a stick board, you know, and just, you know, trying to slip halfway. But, man, overall, when it comes down to it, Clarissa is the bomb. Anything when it comes to women, I don't care what weight division in women. Man, I look at her like she got everything that it takes to be any of the women out there, any of them. You know, she talk her stuff, but she know how to back it up, you know. But she got the pedigree, man. She got that amateur pedigree, man. And man, shoot, she only lost once in the amateurs and came back and avenged that. You know, you can't top that. And she learned from the best.
Didn't we have a young lady that you train? She's a police officer. What was her name?
Who, me?
Yeah. I think she was a police officer out of Baltimore.
No, you know what? I didn't train this girl. It was a show fight out here. I worked with this one female officer out here in California.
Okay.
But
okay.
That must have been somebody else. But yeah, I worked with one out here for one of those Battle of the Badges and everything. You know.
Yeah.
She wasn't all the way there with it. And I'm telling you, man, I've been looking, trying to find a female that really, well, I don't go out there looking, trying to find them like that. But I mean, if one step in the gym and I see they got a little something, like I say, this young girl I got, you know, if she really wants to do it and she sticks with it, man, you're going to hear about her. I'm telling you. But yeah, man, because, man, I look at it like, the moves that guys make, women can make the same moves. They just need to be taught in the same manner. You can't be light on them and like, oh, okay, well, she only does it that way because she's a female. And no, you just show the proper way. That's all to it. They do it in other sports too, where they, you know, they always got that little slightly different feminine type of moves or whatever, even in basketball or whatever, but I don't know basketball, man. It look like, but see, I can't play basketball, so I can't say nothing about that. I look at that, they'll go to the hole on me and tap me up. But boxing is something different. But yeah, man, it was a great fight, man, and man, she really set her standards up, and she's looking to move on further. And what's crazy is she's willing to take that challenge and go ahead and try Clarissa.
Well, I mean, you know, if you want to make any money, you have to try Clarissa. I mean,
that's the main reason why she's going to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. If I was her
manager, I would really. I know he's giving it thought. I know Rick is giving it a lot of thought. You know, even though he got it on his mind to do it, but Clarissa ain't nothing to play with. And she's going to come out there and throw some bombs on him. And she's actually punching and everything. And Jessica still has a lot of that. Oh, man. You know.
She's not big enough, though. She's not big enough. If you can't keep Clarissa off of you, you're not big enough. You need.
Right.
I mean, that's just, you know. But, you know, hey, the money's good. I mean, you know, but, you know, the chance, you always got a boxer's chance, of course. But, you know, I don't think that right now there's anybody big enough. But speaking of big enough, you know, were you surprised that the California State Athletic Commission decided that we were going to have boxing back here in the state of California?
Wait, I didn't hear that yet. I'm just hearing it now. When was this?
Well, you know, we've already had bouts down here at Fantasy Springs. They were televised last Friday, I think it was.
Oh, but wait, but with no crowds, right?
Yeah, still no crowds, but I think
was it
Showtime, and one of them had a card down here just recently, because I was teasing K-9, because that's where he won his two titles down here in Fantasy Spring. So,
right,
yeah.
Right.
And then I was talking to, we had Pat Russell and Jack Reese down here. When we had the thing with Nassim Richardson and... So we're open, but they are fighting out in the desert, of course. You know, we're still not going to have fights in L.A. I'm not sure what to do up north as far as San Francisco and up around that area, but
you know what? Overall, I really don't see a problem having it in any city because... anyway, though, the way to, I guess with the commission has to have the fights in a certain manner nowadays. You know, any bouts, you're not going to have no crowd. And, you know, you have to make sure you got a crew that's going to come up there in between bouts and sanitize the ring, the ropes, you know. Long as you got all that set, you know, that wasn't good. And that was something good that ESPN came with their bouts and they, like, put it out there and let it be known this is the way to do it. And I've seen that Showtime had a bout in London and they did the same exact thing, you know. And so it looked like, man, I really can't see it going like that forever. But, I mean, at least that way we can get fights going again. We got a guy from out in our area that's fighting, I think it's, is it this weekend? I think it is. I think it's this weekend in Vegas on ESPN. Oh, man. Oh, Adrian. His name is Adrian. He's a tall lightweight. And but, see, it's giving these youngsters opportunities, especially these ones that's undefeated. And they really haven't fought anybody yet. And what they're doing, they're making them all clash heads with each other. You know, you got a bunch of undefeateds coming together that's, you know, just building their records up, and now they got them built up, so they got two undefeated fighters coming together on televised bouts. So they got to really prove themselves then. And one of our guys, you know, I don't know if I talked to you about that the last time. One of our guys at the gym, he, well, his trainer had called in and tried to get him a bout on there. He was 10-0 at the time, Miguel Contreras. And he ended up going out there, and sure enough, he fought a guy from Wisconsin that was undefeated and took care of business. And now they talking about signing him with Top Rank. So, you know, and that was from him throughout the time of the pandemic. You know, like I said, we got the gym at the house now in the backyard. He's been steady training all throughout this time. So he's been ready. And that's what these fighters got to do. They got to be ready and not get ready.
Yeah, that's one of K-9's favorite saying. Yeah, they're fighting in Connecticut. The next fight in Connecticut,
right.
I think, is going to be the Charlo brothers are going to be fighting in Connecticut. Then Gervonta Davis and Luis Santa Cruz, that's supposed to be in Connecticut also. Fights out here. The fight for Mike Tyson and Roy Jones is supposed to be out here in Houston, but, you know, we'll see how that works out. what do you think about what do you think about that fight? You know, I'm still not convinced that this is something that I know. I don't think the hardcore boxing fan will want to see it. I mean, you know,
wait, which
maybe
one?
Mike Tyson, Roy Jones.
You know what? I look at that as, man, I look at it as strictly entertainment. You know, I heard Tyson bring up about the, what do you call it? The Legends. Something of the Legends. And and it sounded like something that he started, because he said even about, like, golf players, you know, guys that play tennis, it don't have to be just boxing, but guys that legends from the past come back and redo it again and just, you know, enjoy themselves and, you know, and do it for a cause, you know. And now that's what I heard at the beginning where he started out talking about it, but then I thought about it being realistic. If it's going to be, it has to be televised, you can't have a crowd there, so you got to make money off of it some kind of way. And that's pay-per-view. And who's going to pay for a pay-per-view if they know it's just an exhibition where you got two guys shadow sparring each other? So they have to hype it up, you know. So, you know, and then never know, it may just turn into that. It may just into that. I don't know.
You have to put, if you're going to charge for it and it's going to be a pay-per-view, you got to put an undercard together. It doesn't work without without a decent undercard. So
But what I understand, they have that, you know, they have those, I don't know, they have some rappers sometimes, and I forget this guy's name, but they're supposed to have somebody like that on there. A guy that's, he's known off social media. He got such a big following that he's doing pay-per-view fights, you know.
Yeah.
And I heard one of them was supposed to be on the card.
I'm pretty sure we've had we've brought that up. These guys were the main event, and we had two championship fights underneath them. One of them's name is
right. I remember we was talking about that on here. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. You know. Yeah, I do remember. You know, but. You know, once again, you know, I think, you know, when boxing, which, you know, is a sport that we all love and have watched all our lives, when we have to start relying on gimmicks, I think it takes something away from the sport. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe, you know, as we would put it, you know, maybe the kids, you know, the 30s or, you know, people that, you know, didn't see Tyson in his prime, maybe, you know, but...
But, you know, Tyson, you know, at 50-some years old and fighting Roy Jones, that's, you know, 40 pounds lighter. Maybe if it was, you know, like you said, a free exhibition or something like that, or it was, you know, mm-hmm. Something for, you know, for the kids or, you know, a good cause.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I might be a bit more behind it, but you would still have to give me an undercard, you know. Even if it was some of the up and comers, I wouldn't mind.
Well,
Badu
Jack is supposed to fight on that card. I remember seeing something about that where Badu Jack said he's fighting on that card.
Yeah, that's his first fight back after that big cut.
Right. Oh, no, he had another one after that. He fought, he had a hell of a fight with I can't think of his name right offhand right now.
Pascal?
Yeah, Pascal. Yeah, him and Pascal.
Yeah, that's right.
That was
got hurt. Yeah, Pascal. Mm-hmm. I think he's still under therapy. I know he's at home. Yeah, I do remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Cards, but we do have some bad blood that I didn't really know about until I started reading a little bit more into it, and that's Teofilo Lopez and Vasily Lomachenko. I didn't know there was bad blood in between these guys, but now one is saying there's some bad blood here. What's your thoughts here on this fight?
I've seen where they were saying that Lopez was wanting more money for the bout. And I know Bob Arum was saying that, you get this, you know, whatever. But from what I understand, he finally turned around and said, okay, I'll take it, you know, I'll take what I'm going to get. But, they was going at it for a while about, you know, even trying to build on this fight. Because it's been a while that Lopez, him and his dad been saying, well, his dad been putting it out there saying that he's going to be the first man to beat, did he say take him out? But I know he said his son was going to beat him down the line. He said this way ahead of time, you know. And now he's in line for it, and we'll see what happens when this comes about. I think that's going to be a real interesting bout, too, you know, because Lomachenko, man, he really has some good moves on him, you know. He avoids getting touched. And Lopez, he do have a punch on him, you know, and he's pretty accurate, too. He's a pretty accurate fighter. Yeah, but... they having bad blood towards each other, man. That's gonna make for an interesting fight. That's gonna be a bigger fight than way bigger than Tyson and Jones. You know, bring these two old men back out the graveyard. Stir up some excitement. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now somebody had posted matter of fact, it was Kenny Porter had posted up that his brother was fighting. This is Kenny Jr. I'm talking about that
Sean fights Saturday, doesn't he?
Saturday.
This is his first fight back, and they're fighting. They're going to be fighting in L.A. at the Microsoft.
It says it's going to be a world title eliminator too. That's going to be interesting.
German dude, I forget his name.
Formella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So mm-hmm. yeah, we,
yeah, and,
we,
and and my man Nathaniel Gallimore, he's supposed to be fighting on that too. Yeah.
Nate Gallimore?
Yeah, Gallimore's supposed to fight on there. He's fighting Sebastian Fundora.
Okay.
Yeah, so I guess those are the two, I guess, co-main event on that. Don't know how many bouts they have. But, you know, and that's the good thing about these bouts now, too. You know, if you are undercard, you're going to get your bout seen, you know. So the guys that get to fight on the undercard and they fighting on the televised bout, at least they're going to get seen. So it's all on them to perform and, when it comes time to do it. Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and the zone is they're using Indio on the 28th. Who's fighting on the 28th?
Indio? Okay, I know where that is.
Yeah, right.
That's out here in our neck of the woods.
This is where Canine won both his titles. So yeah, I know he's gonna be down in Florida. He's actually doing some color commentating work down there with one of our guests. But you've been doing some traveling between Chicago and California now?
Man, I haven't had a chance to do any traveling.
This
pandemic, man. I don't know, man. It's had me. It's been cool because it's been a lot of family time, and it's really, really needed, man. Because you know, my dad has dementia, and yesterday he celebrated 94 years, man. And so you know, the family been close together, and you know, we've been chatting online together, you know, with my family members in Florida and Vegas. We all get on the phone on Facebook chat or whatever, and video chat. And because usually I would be in Chicago now. I would be out there now. And I still may be going out there in November because we still working on for next year's reunion, Chicago Boxing Brotherhood reunion. And then a lot more stuff I really want to build up on. Oh, that's why I got to get in touch with K-9 on a lot of that, too, because we were talking about some of that off the air. And, yeah, we got to look out for these fighters, man, that fighters from the past, man. You know, keep them sparked up, man. Keep them sparked up. Keep some life in them, you know. But yeah, man, I've been pretty much locked down, man. But have you been doing any traveling?
No. I haven't done any. I was planning on doing the Sturgis thing, and we know how that turned out. And
I was supposed to hit that too.
Yeah, and then I was looking at the. As a matter of fact, I posted it the other day. When was it? I think it was Monday. We had Antifa pull in the Sturgis with the Confederate flags and all that. So I was kind of glad that, you know. Yeah. They pulled in the end of Sturgis yesterday. So.
I'm going to have to look that up. I'm going to have to pull that up. Yeah, because somebody did bring something up about the Sturgis thing.
You can look on my page. I posted it up there. I didn't know it was, you know, going to be this weekend, but I had heard about some things from the different organizations that I have on my other political show, the Black Panthers and whatnot. So, there were some things, some rumors and whatnot, but, you know, it is what it is. Life goes on. Does the ABO have anything in the makings? I know the last time we talked, you had a couple of titles that were supposed to be on the line. I think it was down in Texas. You had
right.
a show or something.
Right, right. Yeah, we had one that was coming up, and I was just talking with Juan the other day about that. And that fell through. I believe what it was is that I guess the promoter was trying to get him a crowd there, and I was like, no, not out in Texas, man. Y'all worse than California, you know. So it fell through, and but we do have some stuff on the burner. Juan had brought up some more stuff to me, and he said, yeah, well, and he's not giving me all the detail yet until he makes sure he, you know, got everything pinpoint. But we're looking at some stuff coming up in a few. And with you letting me know about that, you know, I really should have known that it was opening up a little bit. But, you know, it all depends on what promoter it is, you know, as far as for our ABO title bouts. So right now is a good time to start hitting up the different areas and different promoters and seeing what they got and who they got in there, you know, because we're about to fill up the rest of our divisions, the vacancies. You know, we're going to fill up the vacancies. And right now, you know, since everybody been idle, it's like, you know, we can't penalize the ones that ain't defend their title throughout this time because, you know, they had to cancel a fight because they couldn't defend the title. So we can't just, you know, so we got to give them some love, you know, give them some love for that. But, yeah, we'll be having something coming up real soon. And most definitely I will be letting you know. And, you know, we're looking to get with Team Certified. They should be coming back with something. They should bounce right back, you know, since they didn't do the things over in Sturgis.
Well, yeah, I mean, so. I'm sure you know as well as anybody else, you know, with the way that employment and, you know, I mean, when you
mm-hmm.
have a fight, you have to have, you know, some sort of service. I mean, you know, there's going to be, you know, some types of liquids or something to eat
right.
or something.
Right,
so,
right.
So there's a lot of things. You know, I was thinking about that, you know, when I was talking on my other show about the football season and how that could be an opportunity, you know, with half of the season, you know, like there's not going to be any football here in the In the Pacific, you know, especially, you know, like no UCLA, no, you know,
right.
USC,
right.
no none of that. So, I mean, those are all dates, you know, where you could possibly put a small fight venue or whatever, you know. They're talking
right.
about opening
right.
up, you know, to one-third capacity. Well, you know, if
mm-hmm.
you got 100,000 seats and you can only fill them with 30,000. Well, you know, hey, that's a hell of a boxing venue there. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, not
right.
You,
right.
you can get 30,000 in a whole lot of places, but you know, if you could do
uh-huh.
that, you know, with football and put them all off in pods like they're talking about, you know, hey, but
right.
you know, we'll see. So I'm sure you know businessmen like you and Juan and promoters and that. You know, I'm sure you guys are thinking about you know things like that. So
yeah.
As usual,
yeah, and
man,
you know, I saw where I can't remember what this was. I saw this on. I was walking past the TV, and I looked up, and it was a concert. It was in another country. It was a concert, and the way they did it, it was a safe concert. They had like rails put up where everybody was kind of like at a table instead of like being out in the park and all over each other and stuff. They had them like in sections each with five people per section. And it was pretty
yeah.
big. It was like in a big park area and it was a concert. The band was up playing. I can't think of the name. I don't even know if I even know the band. But it was over in England somewhere or something. And it just gave me an idea right there. I said, now that would be a heck of a setup. You know, I mean, if it came down to it where they say, okay, this is the way it's going to be forever, it would be just like the way you have a fight card and you have a dinner being served, you know.
Yeah.
So everybody would be in their own sections, and then they're 6 feet away from another section, you know, and then the groups are all coming together, you know. So I don't know, you know. Maybe something like that could work, you know.
That's how they're going to be doing it down in Texas, at Texas University. They're selling them groups of six. Tickets are in groups of six. Each one of them, you know, there's social distancing between each group. They're going to experiment with something like that. That's why I was saying, you know, with some of these smaller stadiums, you know, being outside, you know, if you could do something like that, then, you know, it's possible. I mean, it would almost be perfect for a small venue like they changed the name of it on me. The fight venue in Los Angeles, the where we have all the big fights.
Staples Center or something?
Staples
Center.
Call it. No, not the Staples Center. The other one where.
I know which one you're talking about. You called it earlier.
It used to be a sign.
I ain't been there, but.
Stadium or something like that. You can get that. They sit. Everybody's all around the ring.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be perfect, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they even have press boxes up there, so you could rent out a press box. You know where you would have your own, you know, just like you know regular fight or regular venue, but. Yeah, I'm sure there's people out thinking of different ways. I was trying to think of something. I can't think of it right now. It went over my head. You were talking about traveling and stuff. Yeah, I do hope we get a chance to at least get a couple of venues off before 2021. Doesn't look like it out here too much.
Right.
But, like, you know, unless you have a sister that's coming up. But, I'm just glad to see everybody's back. You know, we got Top Rank back. We got PBC is back. Yeah. Ian is back, so, you know, I'm glad to see
that is a good thing, man. You know, and it's a slow process, but, hey, we got to be patient with it, you know, because that's the only way to be safe, you know, and be slow and patient about it and let things just come together, you know. You know, you can't rush for perfection, you know.
That's right. Hey.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, well, you have a good night, Vince, man, and it was great talking with you. Let me know what's going on, and we're going to see what's going to go on with Miss McCaskill. I'll probably get in touch with some of her. She's got a publicist.
Yeah, I'm gonna check with them. Matter of fact, I'm gonna try and catch up with them throughout this week.
Okay. Well,
and I see if I can connect them. Yeah, I see if I can get them connected with them.
Okay. We want to go to our own little boxing channel here right around the 1st of September, and I'll let you know how that goes. We're going to start doing. We have to come up into the 20th century too. We're going to do a little stream, a little live TV and whatnot. And
look
forward to doing all of that with you know, especially with your organization, Team Certified K-9.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get a little base, and we hope to expand.
Give
us your final thoughts for the.
Man, well, Yeah, like you say, as long as we keep moving forward like we're doing now, man, at a slow pace, man, things are going to get brighter again, man. And, you know, fight scene is about to pick back up. And, you know, like I say, you know, it's a lot of things that, you know, you can look at things like ain't nothing happening. But you know what? Sometimes we need that time. We need that break, that time to really work our mind and be strategic in what we really want to do. And that's what I'm doing with this time. I'm taking advantage of it and looking at it as a positive. You know, it gives me time to maneuver on making things better for, like, my Chicago Boxing Brotherhood program. You know, I want to reach out and I want to be able to help these ex-fighters. And if I'm rushing every year trying to get the reunion together and all that, I'm not really spending the time that I need to spend thinking on how to better things for these guys. So, nah, it's giving me the time, and I got the guys working with me. So it's a blessing, man. And but, yeah, man, everything's looking good, man. And I'm looking forward to this end of the year, because that's when everything's really going to break off. I feel like November, December, everything's going to really start picking up. And the beginning of the year should be hot. But, yeah, man, yeah, you know, you can always catch me on Facebook, Vince Rock Hudson. Catch me on Chicago Boxing Brotherhood. I'm with, check with me on ABO, American Boxing Organization. Hey, man, it's always a pleasure talking with you, man. Always good talking shop, man. And gotta let K9 know I missed him this trip, man. But I'm gonna sure get with him, man. He's been putting some good stuff up on his videos.
Yeah, yeah, he's been putting some very good stuff up there. That's gonna be on YouTube and our TV channel. We're just trying to get things wrapped up here. Like I said, before we know it, September will be right here upon us. So, you know, we gotta.
Man. Yeah, it's right around the corner. Hey, well, congratulations on that, man. And, hey, man, I look to get with you on that sometime, man, and watch it grow, man.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it. You have a great night, and we look forward to having you back on again soon.
Okay, champ, man. You stay blessed, man.
You too, sir.
All right. Thanks. All right. Bye-bye.
We missed K9 tonight for some reason. I don't know. But, the show must go on. So we got Vince in. And we're going to miss our rapper, K9. I put out this track so that K9 could rap us out of town. But he's not here, but we'll represent. Have a great night, everyone. We'll see you next Tuesday, right here on the Dog Pound.